Well, good morning, and I to greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to see you all, and it's good to be together and worship together, and once again, the instruction that I need in my life, I find here so many times, and I'm thankful for that. This morning, it is a Father's Day, and it's a time when we often want to acknowledge that. We want to recognize that again this morning and use this day of recognition as a time to recognize and ponder the great work and the responsibility of fathers. And this morning, as a father, I stand here before you, and you cannot help but, as you prepare for a sermon like this, to think through your own life and you ponder what you did right and what you did wrong. Certainly, it's not all negative, but you have to ask those questions, and they are at times revealing. But this morning, we want to study together and look at, yes, some scripture and numerous Bible characters that I will reference and talk about, and try to look at 5 points of qualities of a godly father, and study that together this morning. The theme verse that I have is out of 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. It's right there at the end of David's life. And he is he's speaking with Solomon. And why don't we turn to those verses? I have them here in my notes, but let's do open the word together and let's read them. 1 Kings chapter 2. And verses 1 and 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, and there's thought that Solomon was maybe just 20 years old. He was somewhere in that range. He was a young man. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue to keep his word which he spake concerning me, and so on. He continues on. You'll notice this, what I want to lift up here is in this theme verse, he's calling upon Solomon to be strong and be a man. And as I've pondered this thought of fatherhood, it's very closely tied to, well, it's directly tied to men, to being a man. And it is one of the areas that is under, I would suggest it's under assault in our society. It has been. Where everything that God has established has been turned on its head, or the attempt is there to turn it on its head. I'm not ready to give the victory, but there is an assault that runs against manhood and fatherhood, godly qualities of that. Most certainly there is. But God's plan for humanity hasn't changed. And when we look at this side of the house as fathers, that call is unchanged. Responsibility is unchanged. The stakes have not changed. And so, yes, God's plan for men stands strong today. And as we look around and see the wreck that's being made of the genders, there's only two genders, male and female. And the confusion that's happening today its purpose is to not make something better. The purpose of that confusion, the purpose of these lies, are to destroy the beauty, the definition, and the responsibility that God has given to the opposite genders. And so this morning there are distinct responsibilities, roles, and so on. We want to consider that just a little bit this morning. So there is an assault against manhood that's destroying and tearing down the man. And as man has succumbed to that destruction, he's become, I suggest, lazy and pitiful. Men who fall prey to that destruction do not have the capacity to love and to care and to provide, and so on. He becomes a bitter and an angry man. Well, God has a place of fulfillment and responsibility and blessing for fathers. And we, many of us here, not all of us are fathers, but many of us here have that blessing in our lives, and I want to consider it as such. So I think we need to be aware of that pressure and how it may affect us, how it may affect our thinking, and we'll tend to draw back from being as distinct about our genders, even in our conversations. And yes, we should call someone Mr. and Mrs. and Ma'am and so on. I think we should feel free to do that. God has created us with a distinct work. And so this morning I want to consider some qualities of a godly father. As I mentioned just in the outstart, as I pondered my own life and the opportunities and how that I have carried out these responsibilities, you know, maybe it's better for the 23-year-old to bring this sermon and speak of ideals. And maybe it's better for Brother Howard to bring this message. And looking back, I'm not at either one of those places. And I would say that I am in the middle of life. And I, one of the things as I pondered this, one of the things that I was struck with and I felt that I needed to repent of is the fact that the busyness of life. I've been blessed with, I believe, being able to hire another person to take up some responsibilities. I had a driver who moved on to another opportunity in his life, and I hadn't been able to replace that. And I'll admit to you, the last 2 months has been a handful plus. It's been over the top. And I believe that those answers, those prayers are being answered. And I think there's some clarity there. But as I looked at that, and I know there are seasonal aspects and there are different pressures that come at us, but I just recognize that that is a weakness that I have in being willing to just pick up and take on more responsibility than I probably than I should. So I recognize that this morning, and I am repenting of that. I guess I should have a point in here. Maybe it's woven through, but godly fathering takes time. And that's not one of my points, but that should be a theme that we want to think about this morning as we go along. First of all, my first point is this, simply this. A godly father is, first of all, a husband. We do believe that, but the Bible tells us clearly that two are to become one. And it happens in marriage, and it's commitment, and it's the foundation of the home. It's the foundation of the home built around the principles of God and the centrality of Jesus Christ. And we're already understanding that. We're talking about godly fathers. We're talking about men who have God, who have Christ in their life, and they are engaged in that relationship. So we've already established that. But we're thinking about a home, and a godly father is a husband. Proverbs tells us this in 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And yes, I promote marriage. I'm in favor of that. I encourage that. And I think that there are differences, and God does call people to different places, and I want to be as open and recognize that as I can possibly be. But having said that, God has also made it very clear that for the health of humanity and for the perpetuation of the human race, there's to be marriage. And the fruit of marriage is children raised in a loving Christian home. And I believe that's what I want to just highlight in this point, that a godly father is a husband. Husbands, love your wives, Ephesians 5:25 tells us, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's a beautiful passage that is sort of exploring at least two thoughts. One is Christ and his relationship to all of his children and in the church. And secondly, it's also exploring the husband and wife relationships. And it's pointing out how that they're similar and how that they should complement each other. And I think that is so important this morning, that as a godly father, we are developing and maintaining a husband and wife relationship and a secure home from that platform. We recognize the commitment, the honor, the love, and the strength of a wife and the home that we build together. Godly fathers recognize that. Fathers are men who, in God's plan, have opened their heart to a wife, someone to love, someone to cherish, and because of that relationship, and with God's blessing, have become fathers of children. What an opportunity. What a solemn responsibility when that little child comes into the home. And we're a congregation that knows a good bit about children. There are many children here, and I praise God for that. And I guess from what I've seen in my own life and what I've seen in other people's lives, nothing grows up a young man quite like the commitment and responsibility of marriage and children. There is a pressure and responsibility that comes to bear there that is almost immeasurable. And so I thank God for that. We're thinking about godly fathers and qualities of that. The second point that I'd like to make this morning is this, that godly fathers are men. I've made some comments about that in the outstart, but I'd like to just think about that a little further. 1 Corinthians 16:13 is Paul's message to us and to the church at Corinth. And he said this, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." And that phrase, "quit you like men," has this thought of persuasion and moral conviction to act manly. And so, certainly, there's one aspect of manhood that you think about, you know, physical strength. You think about being stronger physically than your wife. You think about being able to do hard physical tasks. You know, when the sewer line needs fixed, you get down in there and you fix it. Or when the bathroom, you know, the toilet needs unplugged, or whatever it is. The things that are not the nicest to do, men are supposed to roll up their sleeves and do them. However, the quality of physical strength varies much among men. Some are stronger than others, and that's okay. That's fine. What this verse is pointing to is another strength, and it's an even more important strength, and that is, again, to have these persuasions about right and wrong, and to have moral conviction about who you're going to be, to have moral conviction about what's going to guide you. And that moral conviction is based on God's word and his truth. And so Paul is still calling out to us today to quit you like men and be strong. Be strong. Fathers are men. They're manly and strong. And I already noted this idea of being able to do the physical things. And yes, when a better shed needs built for the animals, you do it. When the house is going to need an addition, you step in and you take it up. And we ran out of bedrooms and something needs to be done. And so that responsibility, certainly it's joint. Certainly it's carried by husband and wife. It's a conversation of the home. Etc. We just finished our basement because we needed some more bedrooms. And, you know, it took more than just thinking about it to go from concrete walls and insulation to drop ceiling and bedrooms. It took some doing. And I didn't do it all, but I had to find people to help me do it. And so those are responsibilities of a man. When the strange noise happens in the night, the last strange noise that took me out at 2 a.m. was a coon. And what a noise they can make. And I didn't hardly know what to do with that thing, but it sure didn't want to stop. And, it was finally up to me to take care of that problem at 2:30 a.m. Was it rabies? I don't know. So those are the things that we're called to face. Be strong. Just taking the responsibility of the small things, the door that needs fixed, and being also willing to push out the door the morning that it's raining and damp, and there'd be no better place to do than stay in the kitchen, and just being able to get out and face those responsibilities. Godly fathers are men. They're going to face that responsibility because it's laid on their shoulder. They're going to face that challenge because it's on their shoulders. They recognize that and must proceed. Fathers are men who are like Solomon. Fathers are men who, like Solomon, are shown by their fathers. And that is such a blessing that many of us have, and that is a heritage where we saw fathers who taught us many honorable things and who showed us ways to do things. I don't believe that there is one of us have had a perfect father. I don't believe that's the case. But as we had that input, we were taught so many things, and I just think we can't measure the value of that. And so Solomon here was one who was being taught by David and commanded by David, as we referenced there, to be strong. And how do you do that? How do you show persistence and being willing to work your way through a problem? And when the bolt just won't come loose, what do? Throw the wrench? We had some neighbors back years ago who did that, and they'd be working on the vehicle in the evening, and next thing you know, you'd hear the wrenches hitting the walls, and they'd be yelling, and things just weren't going right. Well, sometimes we can feel like doing that, but we're called to a higher standard than that, and so we get out the pipe if that's what's needed, or we get out the torch, and we fix it. Men, fathers are men who, like David, stand there with other men who are cowering and quaking in front of a Goliath, and saying, is there not a cause? Fathers are those kind of men, and they can step forward. Fathers are men who, like Caleb and Joshua, who say, the Lord is on our side, and we should go up and possess it, for certainly it is ours. And one of the blessings we have in a Christian brotherhood is to be able to bring those gifts together, and we encourage each other as fathers. And where one man sees an opportunity and the other man sees problems, somewhere in the middle of that, we do find our way forward. But our responsibility is to look forward. And some of the things we've talked about, do we need a big, larger church building? Or when should we start the outreach? And those are the kinds of things that fathers and men are pondering. And it's our responsibility. And how do we answer that? Fathers are men like Noah. He took on a project like no other. And that was to build an ark. It was a huge physical and spiritual task, and he took that up and saved his household through it. And yes, fathers are men like Daniel and Nehemiah, prophets who stood and counted the cost. They're men like Jesus and like Paul. You know, Paul, while he had some very misguided convictions, it seems, I'm not sure if they were opposed to Christ, we'll put it that way. He was pure in his desire to have a pure church, and God had to arrest him and stop him. But we can recognize that conviction and that passion. We will make mistakes. Fathers need to be willing to make mistakes as well. If we're not willing to make mistakes, we'll never have the first child because we're afraid of what challenges could face us. And so That doesn't suggest that we should be careless, but we're willing to accept that failure is another part of being a man. Dealing with that, moving through that, and growing from that. And so that is one of the responsibilities that we must take, that a man takes on his shoulders. Number three, godly fathers are leaders. Fathers are leaders. And it's closely tied, but I want to work our way through this. Godly fathers are leaders. There's something about the responsibility, as I already mentioned, that of being a father that grows up a young man. Men grow into leaders quickly when the responsibilities and wife and babies are pressed upon them. This is a good thing. And you've seen a young man get sobered up when it was pretty easy to keep a checkbook balance, but when you're paying for the birth of a child and suddenly you're faced with that pressure. And that is a good thing. It tests our faith. It tests our trust in God. And maybe we need to reach out for some help. By its very nature, fatherhood requires leadership. And this morning, I think it is a fair question for us to ask ourselves, how are we doing? Is my leadership, does it exist? And if so, how does it come out? What does it look like? Is it rash? Is it kind? Is it consistent? Is it loud? Is it too soft? Those are questions that we need to ask ourselves. And quite frankly, we find ourselves at different places on that paradigm. And we need to hear our wives in that. We need to be asking ourselves those questions. Leaders see the big picture. Leaders are able to see beyond the here and the now. Where do I want my family to be in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, in 50 years? Those are things that are worth the time to contemplate and to ask those questions. What will my life and my current progress and development, what am I teaching my children and how will that impact them going forward? And I think those are very sobering questions, and they're ones that you can't hardly answer. And they're ones that can bring fear, but they are ones that we need to consider and be fair with. Leaders also care about the details. As fathers, sometimes we just like to paint with a big brush and then walk away. And unfortunately, when it comes to your own home, it doesn't work out too well. And it is true that one of the gifts that mothers have and wives have is to put together some of those pieces and look, the decorations and the clean carpets and those kind of things just would look quite different if it was up to me. So we recognize those differences. However, family life comes down to lots of little details. And a godly father is going to say, I need to, whether I feel like it or not, discipline myself to care about some of these details, more details. And I think it's a challenge for some of us have different personalities, and that it requires even more work to care about details, but they are important. Leadership, I suggest, always comes down to the details. It seems that way to me. You have to care about a lot of small things for there to be a good big thing. And the big thing that we're talking about this morning isn't a business. It's about the next generation. It's about those little ones that are growing up in our midst. And so we must look on with a critical eye. When I say critical, that sounds negative. Well, often it feels that way, but we must look on and consider. And there's times when a wife points something out to us, and that's so important. But we need to be willing to discipline ourselves to that and say, okay, what's the solution? So the muddy boots are always coming in, and they must always come in only at one door. Or the table manners are just not where they need to be. And those are the kind of things that we need to keep applying our hand to as godly fathers, because they matter. Manners matter. And so there's so many things like that that we are called to take up. You will not speak like that at the table. We need to push back. And this, I feel like, is a challenge to me, to push back against the disruptions of life and to attempt to bring schedule and order to our homes. And it is true, I think probably our homes go through different seasons. There's a time when all the little ones are there around the table, and there's a different kind of disorder there. But generally, you can handle that. And then times change, and next thing you know, you've got a child off serving here, and two different ones with different job schedules, and someone they're helping out tonight. And next thing you know, you don't know what all pieces you've got around the table anymore. But the challenge is to continue to bring together that structure and discipline that's needed. And that's what we're called to do. A father's leadership is never done. There's a saying, something about a woman's responsibility is from son to son, and it continues on. It's never done. It's all night long. And it's the same for us fathers. I'd like to continue on into the fourth point, and I did not put these in orders of importance, but this is where this one is. Godly fathers are teachers. There is a responsibility upon us whether we feel like we have the gift to teach or not. We are teaching. We are showing our sons and our daughters what a father looks like. What a father looks like. And to me, that's very sobering. Psalms 127, verse 3 says this, 3, 4, and 5. Lo, we're familiar verses. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward, God's reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. There's a beautiful picture there about children who have grown up, and they have carried forward their father's belief, his convictions, and they are engaging beyond the circle of dad. You know, dad's gotten older. He has less impact, but that group continues out, and that impact goes out. And what a blessing that is when it is directed and influenced by a godly man. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. So yes, we teach. We have the opportunity and calling to teach our little ones truth. That's a very sobering responsibility to me, and I would like to say that, I'll put it this way, I am have a high regard for people, for dads who I've seen or who I've picked up on, who love to teach. They're continually telling their children about how this works and why it works that way, etc. And I think that's a gift. I think it's a wonderful gift, and I would wish to grow in that more in my own life. But we do teach, and we teach without words, and I think we'll notice that here in just a moment as well. We have the opportunity and the responsibility to teach our little ones. And so I want to bless you, brothers. I want to bless you, fathers, in this congregation. I do see fathers who care. I see fathers who are going and picking up that little child that's maybe given mother a struggle and taking care of it. And that's a blessing. We have many children here. And I think there are times when we have struggled to keep order in this little building with 50 children. But we've worked on it together as well. And we've made progress. And I praise God for that. But it does take work. It takes working together, teaching our children, taking them along with us to our job sites. And I remember distinctly, I should have memories of this more often, but there was one moment when I was about to adjust. I was doing some maintenance on a piece of equipment. And I was about to adjust it. And one of my sons said, "Dad, I want to see that. How did you do that?" And so next thing you know, we were both underneath in that tight spot. And it's a click, click this way, and then three back, and there it is. And that's the way it should be. That's what we're called to do. And it's so easy to, to go to Google for the answers. And maybe our children are doing that more than ever. I know that I do it. Had the opportunity to change a flat tire in a vehicle that wasn't my own. It was alongside the road. I sure didn't know how to get that tire to lower down, and neither did the lady that was driving it. And so I Googled it, and it showed me where to lower the tire. And anyway, my point is, though, fathers need to stand in that gap and continue to teach. And again, be hands-on with that. Malachi 4:6 talks about how God will turn the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. And that's done through relationship. It's done through engaging in conversation and teaching. And God help us. I feel again like those are areas where I have come up short. Hebrews 12:5-11 speaks of how God will chasten his children just like a father chastens his children. Why does a father chasten his children? Why does he do it? Ephesians 6:4 says this, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but what? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's why we chasten our children, to bring them up. And I believe that's why God allows or brings chastening into our lives, is to bring us up, to nurture us and admonish us in what he desires us to be. And that's the opportunity we have with our children. We must do it. And yes, discipline. That's a subject in and of its own. Godly discipline to our children, bringing that kind of where the rod is applied and where truth is taught. And those things are so necessary and cannot be replaced. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so may God give us wisdom, fathers, as you lead out in chastening your children where it needs to be done, and teaching and instructing where that's the best done. And so, yes, godly fathers are teachers. We're talking about personal Bible reading. We're talking about family worship and that responsibility. We're talking about leading out in reaching out to our communities, and our children need to see that. I remember there's some real distinct thing that stand out to me in my father's life, where he was reaching out to people, and I got to see that. And some of it was positive, and some of it was negative. I remember a real tall man one day getting right in my father's face and said, "Don't you ever talk to me about that again." You know, my dad interacted with that man for years after that, and he respected that. But that truth was still there. The truth didn't go away. And perhaps yet, in this man's life, he will come back to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we must be teaching our children in all of these areas. We're called to teach. Fathers teach, as I mentioned, by example. More is caught than is taught, is the old saying. And so our strength and our weaknesses end up being duplicated in our children. And that happens so easily. How I spend my money, our time, our family's time, how I drive, how I think, how I speak of others, how I speak of our authorities. And yes, we respect them as police officers. We don't call them cops. We respect them as a legitimate authorities. And one of the areas that the authority comes to us is in the area of compliance with our commercial vehicles. And I'm thankful for the police officers who continue to bring safety to the roads by inspecting the brakes of my truck or anyone else's truck. And so we must have that kind of mindset about it and promote that in our children. So we teach by example. When I see Abraham was one who led by example, and God recognized that. He said, "Shall I hide from Abraham this thing that I'm going to do?" Talking about Sodom and the judgment he was going to bring there. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, after his own life, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, And so we see that again, this calling to teach and how we live. He's going to command his children, his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, just as Abraham was. As leaders, we do well to instill our convictions, to pass on our persuasions. And some of them are unique to us. Some of them are unique to our family. They're unique to our person, and we should pass them on. We need strong leadership, not less of it. One balancing thought that I just want to mention is that also our children need to see us under leadership as well. All leadership is under leadership. All authority is under authority. God is, except for God's authority, and he polices himself. He is the source of all authority. But I think we do well to teach our children that we can recognize good leadership is always recognizes other leadership. Leaders develop other leaders. I'm sorry, we will move on. Leaders develop other leaders. This is what leaders do. They understand and give space and encourage on other leaders. And we must do that with our children. As they mature, as they grow up, we need to be able to let them go out. And they must carry on and proceed. And may God help us with that. Number five, my last point here, is that fathers are providers. Closely connected to some of the thoughts that we've just covered. Godly leaders are providers. They're the providers of necessary things. We're providers. This morning, I would like to recognize a couple points here of being providers. We should bring stability in our homes. Fathers should bring stability. There are a lot of winds that blow. There's traumatic experiences. There's injuries. There's those moments of panic. And fathers should be the stabilizing force in that. To be able to carry our family through that, our children through that. We should be stable anchors against, some of the winds, and sometimes it's fearful, like the activities of Russia and Ukraine and that war, and well, when will war come here? And Dad, I heard there was some talk about nuclear war, and those are the kinds of things that we'll discuss that, and we'll bring rest to those things as best we can. When the car breaks down, when you get that panicky call from your wife or your daughter, hey, there's a problem here, what shall I do? And, we're there to help work through that. That is a responsibility of ours. We are providers of love. I think this is a very important point for us as fathers. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 5 talks about charity and how it suffers long. So there's patience. That's important for us as fathers, very important. The kind of patience that it takes to teach our children and to bring them along and et cetera. As Ephesians 6:4 speaks of not provoking our children to wrath, but bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It referred to that verse earlier. Children need to sense the love of their father. And it's an area that I think has become more clear to me as I have matured, and I recognize that I was low in that, in communicating that. And whether it's words, whether it's a touch, whether it's, obvious another area of this is commendation and recognizing a gift and encouraging, those kinds of things are so important. And also just that the child knows without a doubt that their father loves them. And certainly in discipline, we have those moments. And I think that has always been a part of a spanking where love is also communicated. But beyond that, those are those moments. Beyond that is, I'm thinking beyond that as well. And it's just being able to, lay a hand on a shoulder, give a little hug if it's proper, and to just have that touch and that blessing from a father, I think it is very important. And it's an area that I've recognized need in. So yes, we should be providers of confidence. I sort of touched on that. Be engaged in being able to hear what your children are doing and why it's of interest to them and the science project or whatever it is. And then, of course, just simply the necessary things. You know, we need this or we need that. And being able to solve those problems. Those are responsibilities of ours. Those are pressures that come upon us. Sometimes we just like to get rid of those little things. And I don't have an answer to that. And you know how we can be so preoccupied with this problem we're solving. And we communicate so much in that. Well, brothers and sisters, this morning the task is great. Fathers, it is a great responsibility. It's an amazing opportunity and responsibility. God's placed it upon us. Winston Churchill said this, success is not final, failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. So may God give us that courage to press forward. Also, 1 Peter 5:6 tells us this, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And so we must recognize our shortcomings and also call upon God to give, casting all your care, he continues on in verse 7, upon him, for he careth for you. By God's grace, we can fulfill this high calling and be a father that emulates our heavenly Father. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer. We say many times, our Father, which is in heaven, and Lord, we call upon you this morning as our Father, one who has shown love, one who has shown mercy, one who has shown us truth and righteousness and holiness. So we come before you, Lord, and we recognize this great plan. We can understand it at least partly of husband and wife and children and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of you, of your truth. And I pray, O God, that you would help us. Lord, bless this congregation with fathers who are engaged, who are teaching, who are directing and providing. Lord, I do pray that there would be strong homes here, and we thank you for those homes that we see, strong homes in this congregation, and we thank you for that. And I just pray you'd bless us with continued growth in this area. I pray that there would be healthy and balanced children, but children that are grounded and settled in truth that would grow up and proceed from this place and be your servants wherever you call them to. I pray a blessing upon your church. And Lord, we ask that you would direct in the affairs of the nations. And as only you can, may your will be done. Lord, we ask again that you would bless us with your grace and your power to accomplish this work. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.